Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
For us, golf is simple. It's a chance to get out and have some fun with our friends. But inevitably, little things have a way of ruining it. The group ahead is taking forever, you can't find the fairway with a map, and the bev cart is nowhere to be found. And the best way to make a bad day better is Fireball Whiskey. You get their nips, the little shooters. They are great. Makes bad day way, way, way better. Make sure to grab the new Fireball Birdie Shot Club. It's literally a golf club filled with Fireball nips. Put it in your bag. It'll fit right in that side pocket. Drink Fireball nips and have a great time on the golf course.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. When did cheap plastic disposables with 90s-style graffiti art become the norm? No offense if Gaudi Pastel is your style, but the Flonk Max Smart embodies a smarter way to vape. The Flonk is sleek and discreet, and the most popular flavors are available nicotine-free and in 2% and 5% strength. A flexible disposable with a smart LED screen, the Flonk churns out 10,000 dense and delicious puffs. Visit MyPod, MIPOD.com and use promo code STOOL for 25% off Flonk vapes.
On today's Part of My Take, we have our good friend David Baker, president, CEO of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Also, I mean, just full of stories, full of feel-good stories. Also, the return of Mount Rushmore season with the Mount Rushmore of teams that we'd like to eat. And then a bonus Mount Rushmore, too. Mascots that we would like to eat. And we're going four deep on these drafts this year with Jake and Billy tag teaming. We're going to talk a little Bucks parade, maybe Jerry Jones basically saying that he'd commit murder for a Super Bowl, and then Fyre Fest of the Week. Before we get to all of that...
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Okay, let's go. Pardon My Take, presented by Bar Stool Sports. Welcome to Pardon My Take, presented by GoldenAuctions.com. Go check them out right now if you're trying to get back into the card game, or you're in the card game. We're going to be doing a rip in a pack. I don't even know if that's the right phrase. Later on this month. Today is Friday, July 23rd. And PFT, I got to say, I think we should try to win an NBA championship a podcast, because it looks awesome.
I just think that there should be more parades in general.
Yeah.
Parades really only exist nowadays if you win a championship or like for an inauguration.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. Besides that, we don't get out. We don't do ticker tape.
Maybe like a 4th of July little small town America parade.
I think Pride.
Pride.
Good call.
Well, that was canceled, the last 2 years.
Why?
It had bad tweets.
Oh, got it.
No, but I think that we need to normalize doing more parades. Parades need to be like small accomplishments. Let's fucking get out there.
When we did the Blake of the Year, which actually, by the way, is coming up next week.
Oh, there definitely needs to be a parade for
that. The Takeys next Wednesday.
We did give Blake Griffin a parade when he came.
We did give him a parade, but the Takeys next Wednesday. Get excited, Blake of the Year. But go ahead, Jake.
Jilly Football and I went to the ticker tape parade for the women's soccer team.
That's right. They had it down the Canyons of Heroes.
Yep.
That's the thing, is the Yankees got to win another title. They got to put 28 up there.
Or the Mets.
Yeah, or the Mets. But this, parades are awesome. It looks like, I really do think that we should try our best to win a championship in a professional sport, because
handball,
that looks awesome.
Yeah.
Water dogs.
Yeah. If the water dogs.
Yeah, good joke, Hank.
You know what? If they win, we should organize a dog parade.
Yeah.
And we'll do it on the Hudson River on the path over there. and then we'll just have everybody bring their dogs out. How many dogs do you think we could get just of AWLs?
Well, it has to be lacrosse fan AWL, so maybe two?
Yeah, maybe a couple dogs.
A dog and a cat? Maybe one cat?
We can,
a turtle? Someone's got a turtle. Billy, you bring your hedgehog?
Yeah, put a leash on one of your frogs, Billy.
At least dozens.
Dozens.
Uh-huh.
Dozens of PLL. But no, we got the... Are the Water Dogs playing this weekend?
It's a bye week next week, Colorado Springs.
You.
See you there.
Jake
you,
Marsh. Jake Marsh. The future.
Get excited. But yeah, that parade was awesome. Giannis, the likability tour keeps going. He did the freeze. He got someone threw him a ball, and he pretended he was shooting a free throw, and he just stayed frozen for about 4 hours.
Uh-huh.
That was awesome. P.J. Tucker.
Every player, or every time a team wins a championship, there needs to be a role player that gets abnormally drunk.
And yes.
That's the drunk guy in your team that celebrates too hard. That was P.J. Tucker.
I also love P.J. Tucker's speech because he was like, when I got here, they're like, you need to be a dog. But I said, no, there's dogs everywhere. Actually, put the speech in because it's great.
You know, it's crazy. That's what everybody, like, when I came here, they're like, yo, you got to, like, show, like, you got to be the dog. And I'm like, man, we got dogs. Like, they just ain't, like, we, like, I got here, like, we already got dogs. They just don't know how to be dogs. And we going to be dogs. And our dogs is crazy. We got dogs, you hear me? Milwaukee, we dogs!
P.J. Tucker essentially is saying, like, fuck analytics, even though analytics changed his whole career because he was on those Daryl Morey Rockets. That's, like, when he excelled. Mm. But fuck analytics. If you just have enough dogs, you can win a championship.
Well, that's also P.J. Tucker's role, is
right.
to be a dog.
Dog.
So he was just, like, saying, you need dogs to win. That's him.
Yeah.
So he was like, yeah, that he was like defining his role.
He had to teach everyone else how to be a dog.
What you sometimes you don't know that you're a dog until you see another dog.
Until you bite.
That's me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a great parade. I liked the bus driver too.
Yeah.
The bus driver was going like 25 miles per hour.
He was ready to be done.
It was great. Like, I don't really blame the bus driver wanting to get home.
Right.
Probably had other. Being a bus driver on a drunk bus in general has got to be like the hardest job in the world.
Yes.
Dealing with all the people in the back playing the same six songs that you hear every weekend over and over again.
Cans hitting the side of your bus because people miss, like throwing it up top.
Yeah, it's not an easy job at all to be a bus driver in a parade. And he was going like pedal to the metal. It was like Vin Diesel driving that.
Yes, like, he was family. Very fast. Very fast. And shout out Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday for making sure they were at the parade. I think they're going to Japan tomorrow. I think it is, or maybe tonight. So they didn't. They did the right thing. That would have been terrible if they had to hop on a plane. Devin Booker's saddest flight ever. But so that was a parade. What? Yeah.
The day before the parade, Giannis also created a new drink with the half Sprite, half lemonade, no ice.
Yes.
And did the 50 chicken nuggets.
Was that European, by the way, no ice? I think it is.
No, I think that's just being a smart consumer. You get more soda that way.
I think it's something with, I think Europeans don't do ice.
I think if you grow up with not a whole lot of money, you know the no ice trick.
Right.
Because it's like you get extra, probably 25% of the drink with that.
Yeah, and you don't need, need to waste it on ice.
That was my move growing up. I was a big no ice guy.
No ice.
And I can deal with a lukewarm drink if it means that I get more of it. But that's a delicious drink. The Sprite lemonade mix, fantastic.
Yes.
I tried to do the 50 nuggets challenge, got through 36, but what I didn't say was I had a 20-piece nugget from Chick-fil-A also for lunch that day.
It also is very funny because it was, I think Giannis was with his family and he was ordering it for everyone. Did he finish 50 nuggets?
It couldn't be just for him, and there were minis.
So yeah, right.
So there were the mini sandwich that comes in breakfast, and Billy did an extensive deep dive into the Chick-fil-A sandwich, and it's like a honey bun, right, Billy?
Oh.
So it's about, it's actually
okay,
double
on,
the calories.
Okay, time out. One of the greatest rivalries that goes on at Part of My Take is Billy touching the mic and Hank being like, stop touching the mic. Billy just tried to kick the mic into place.
Well, because you can't touch this end of the mic.
You can always
touch that
but
one.
But you kicked it.
So I'm like,
yeah, there we go.
You can always just can sit up it. Into the mic like you're doing right now.
We should probably get two mics.
It's a deep
count. What about headset mics on these guys? That would actually be funny.
No, because then you hear Billy's deviated septum.
That's true. All right, Billy, give us the report.
So 50 regular nuggets is around 2,000 calories, and 50 chicken minis is about 4,000 calories.
Oh, so
it's double more food.
Because it's a bigger patty.
Wait, 2,000 calories for 50 chicken nuggets? That's not even a full day.
Yeah.
Right?
It is a full day.
That's not really. Not for guys like us,
nutritional
right?
full day.
We got a fucking bigger guys.
In comparison, Joey Chestnut's 77 hot dogs is around 20,000 calories.
Got it.
I forget the number.
That's way more.
Way more. Way more.
Giannis, if he finished those 50 minis, though, that's more impressive than winning an NBA championship.
Yeah, I don't think he did, but I agree with you. All right, so other things we got. Texas and Oklahoma are trying to leave the Big 12. That was nothing like college football politics and realignment. I like the part where I'm pretty sure Texas A&M was the team that leaked this at the SEC media day. Because Texas A&M obviously doesn't want Texas in the SEC.
Right.
They're very, very much against it.
They're trying to form a super league.
Yeah, they're trying to form a super league. It feels inevitable because you had both the SEC not deny it and then Texas and Oklahoma not deny it. Mm-hmm. And then everyone else in the Big 12 come out very strongly because they know that's the death of the Big 12. I would be sad if it happened just because I do like Big 12 football. But it also, I feel like we're heading towards a four-conference college football landscape.
It is a very Texas thing to do, too. Texas, make no mistake about it, they always think that they're going to be the hottest chick in the room, and they never are. But they think that if I'm doing like a Colin Cowherd extended analogy, it's like Texas is the most high-maintenance girl that you've ever dated, and they always need to be told how good they look all the time. They always need to feel like they're the most important part of your life. If you start playing too many video games over in the corner, they're going to go find the biggest guy in the room and start grinding on them, make sure that you notice that they're doing that. And then they're going to come back and be like, hey, this guy just said something mean to me. You should go fight him.
The real analogy is that that girl, that same girl you just mentioned, she starts dating you. And then she picks your friends.
Yes.
Is what Texas is doing here. Because they're basically like, you can't hang out with these losers, TCU and Iowa State and Oklahoma State. Come hang out with these guys who have their act together. Well, I don't really like them. They could all beat me up.
Uh-huh.
Like Alabama and LSU could beat me up every year. But all right, fine, I'll do it.
Texas is going to be in trouble, I think, if they go to the SEC. Because they're not Texas. Texas is not back yet. They've been almost back for a while. And I think it'd be a big mistake. They still think that they're the Texas of old.
I assume that any team that goes a Texas and Oklahoma will succeed in the SEC just because Texas is different than Oklahoma. Oklahoma has ruled the Big 12 for whatever half a decade more plus. But they'll get SEC players. They'll start recruiting SEC talent. Everyone will probably they'll just assimilate. Like they'll probably get the shit kicked out of them for a little bit. But not even. Like, Oklahoma, if they went into the SEC, they would compete with everyone but Alabama.
See, I don't understand that because Texas, right now, they're going to have the same recruiting base, which is going to be the state of Texas, and they're going to split the recruits with Oklahoma like they always do. But now they're going to lose, I think, more of the Texas players to other schools in the SEC. But if you can't dominate in the Big 12 being Texas and being the only school with the Longhorn Network and all that extra money coming in, how do you think that it's going to be better for you going into a harder conference where they already have the SEC network where schools are getting more money?
They'll get more money. The competition, like when you're recruiting SEC players, you basically say, hey, we're playing in the SEC with these guys. They'll be able to dip into talent pools that they don't dip into right now.
I don't think
Look at Texas A&M.
I don't think that they are going to be dipping into
talent. But Texas A&M went from the Big 12 to the SEC, and they've assimilated very nicely. They're competing at a different level now than they were. You could make the argument Texas A&M has a path now to maybe compete for a national championship. They were I don't want to start old arguments, but they were just right there last year.
Yeah.
They were fifth, and they could have been fourth if you looked at it a different way. So, like,
I don't know if that has as much
to do with iron sharpens iron.
I don't think that has much to do with recruiting as it does with coaching and the entire program at Texas being in just the shittiest possible position for the last, 15 years?
I think
10 years?
I think the SEC just would, especially for a school like Texas and Oklahoma, they'd get their talent, they'd probably get some more. They wouldn't go in there and be beating everyone up, but eventually you're playing in these big games. It is kind of a mini super league. it means more, all that jazz. I know I'm just like sucking the SEC's dick right now, but I think they would probably, like, if you're going to compete at a different level, this is the path to do it.
The big winner in this is Nick Saban for getting another assistant coach that he's spun off to a different program to come back into the conference so that he can beat them
up
every year.
Yeah. Yes, yes. So, yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting. I will be a little sad because it does feel like now everyone's going to have to shuffle the deck again, and then maybe once we get to four conferences, everything will settle forever.
I just don't really see how the recruiting pool would change that much because Texas has always been getting great recruits from Texas no matter what. And then occasionally, like with Charlie Strong, they tried to recruit out of Florida, given his ties there. That didn't really work. I don't see the recruiting pool changing enough to make – other things have to happen in Austin to make Texas a better school than just going to the SEC.
I guarantee you they would get guys that want to play in the SEC – that would play in another SEC program now are going to play at Texas because guys want to play like they want to play in the conference that their family can see them if they're not going to stay at home and all that. So I think they would start dipping into different groups and the SEC guys want to play in the SEC now. SEC makes NFL picks. That's just what they do. They just churn them out. So
I want to see some teams that are just nowhere close to being either South nor East start joining the SEC because once that happens, then we know that realignment's definitely like once Ohio State tries to join the SEC, then we know that realignment is at the doorstep.
Yeah,
like, full realignment into the four league team.
So I'm looking at it right now. I don't know what Texas A&M's recruiting was 10 years ago, but they have a 4-star from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. They have a 4-star from Arkansas. They have a 4-star from Miami. Like I'd have to imagine that being in the SEC helps that. So I don't know. We'll see. And Oklahoma will be fine because Oklahoma's good anyway. They just got to play defense.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. So we're going to see, obviously, when they play against like Ole Miss, you've got Lane Kiffin who doesn't play any defense whatsoever, now playing against Big 12 defenses.
Yes.
That's going to be great.
Yes. So
over city.
I don't know. Just all of a sudden, we're just going to do this whole realignment dance again. I thought we were done, but we're not done anymore.
There's like certain levers that you pull when you're at Texas in order to make yourself relevant again. One is getting a new coach. One is just leaking word that maybe Jim Harbaugh or Nick Saban is interested in moving to Austin. And then the other is just floating out word that you're thinking about putting your nuts on the table and making the Big 12 beg for you to stick around a little bit longer.
Yeah, and they did this 10 years ago. They tried to go to the Pac-12. They batted their eyes at the Pac-12, and then they, you know, got a bunch of TV money and everything. So, I don't know. It's all weird. All right, so the other thing that's happening in Texas is Jerry Jones has basically said that he's going to kill a person.
Yeah, kill a person or worse.
He said, this is his quote, "I'm not trying to be sacrilegious here, but sacrilegious here, but the facts are that I would right now, if I could, and I knew I had a good chance to do it, I would do anything known to man to get into a Super Bowl."
Mm.
Wow.
Hot seat Mike McCarthy.
Whoa.
You think would Mike McCarthy die for a Super Bowl? That's the next step up from Mike Vrabel, which is I'll cut my penis off. If there's a coach out there, it's like, you can execute me at midfield after the Super Bowl is over, and I want to go out a winner.
Yeah, it's a...
Smash me like a watermelon, Jerry.
He wants to kill someone, I think.
Do you think Mike McCarthy would kneel down onto like a cinder block and rest his head on it?
Yes.
And have Jerry Jones smash his skull in?
Yes. Mike McCarthy was cool guy Mike. Do you see those glasses?
Yeah, he looks awesome.
He showed up in?
That's Cali Mike.
That's Hard Knocks Mike.
Yeah,
Oxford, he knows Mike. He's going to be on Hard Knocks.
Oh, I can't wait for him to do the Sean McVay shirtless in a swimming pool.
Yeah, that would be a sight to be seen.
Hard Knocks with the Cowboys is going to be great. Jerry Jones is going to do... He's going to dominate the entire thing. It might as well just be the Jerry reality show.
I think we're 2 weeks away. I saw it was like August 10th or something.
I can hear the sprinklers.
2 weeks from today, Hall of Fame game.
Yeah.
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 And football.
Yeah, we have David Baker coming up talking about the Hall of Fame game. We actually, so like I said, Wednesday is the Takeys. Get ready because Grit Week's coming up too. We're going to do Grit Week middle of August. We'll actually need someone's house to watch Hard Knocks at.
Yeah, it's a tradition, isn't it?
Yeah. So I don't know what city we'll be in, but we will need someone to let us come over and watch Hard Knocks at their house.
Is that a Tuesday night thing?
Tuesday night thing.
Where is Grit Week this Tuesday? Year?
Grit Week, we're going back to basics, baby. We're doing the Rust Belt with the addition of Washington, D.C. So we're doing D.C., Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Buffalo. Maybe not fully guaranteed, but somewhere around there.
We've kind of outlined our general route.
Yeah.
And then once the guests start filling themselves in, we'll make little day trips out.
Back to basics. We're going to fucking do it up. Grit Week 2021. And should we call it Grit Week 2020?
It's Grit Week 2020,
like the Olympics?
Well, I wish that's what I said to PFT earlier. I said I wish we had canceled the Takeys.
Fuck.
I wish we had canceled the Takeys last year, so this year we could call it the 2020 Takeys.
Yeah.
But I'm down for calling this Grit Week 2020.
Okay. Even though we have the sign right there that Jake just pointed out too.
Yeah, that was more of a day, grit day.
That was fun. The 24-hour live stream was fucking fun.
I'm still drunk.
We're far enough away from it now where I can say it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Mario Party was a revelation.
Yeah,
we got to play some more.
We should do that on the road.
Yeah.
On the bus, the grit bus. A little Mario Party on the go.
Hank just looked at us like, you guys are making plans again.
Well, we can
play.
We can't stream it, but we could definitely play.
No, I wasn't talking about streaming. I was talking about just for us.
Hell yeah.
All right, let's get ready to do it. So we have Mount Rushmore season. Mount Rushmore season is here. Before we get to Mount Rushmore, it's brought to you by our friends. Whether you're searching for a home to buy or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can find the home that's just right for you. You can favorite homes, share listings with others, and even schedule tours with a local Redfin agent, all in the app. When you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. So download the Redfin app today to get started. Okay, it is time. It is finally time. It is Mount Rushmore season. We're ready to roll. This year, a little wrinkle, we have 4 teams drafting. Hank, PFT, myself, and then the combo of Billy and Jake. Let's just ask
Jilly.
Yep. Yeah. Let's just ask real quick, how did the meeting go beforehand when you guys were talking? Is there a strategy? Are you guys gonna be able to work together? Is there a clear alpha? Give it to us. There it is. Matt answers that. And Jake gets to the mic first.
If you saw Billy leaned forward to get to the mic, saw that Jake was going to beat him, and then steered away to the right and pretended that he wasn't.
Yeah, like, oh, no, you go. No, yeah, no, you go. You go.
I didn't even want to talk.
All right, I'll go.
No, it was Billy actually who made the alpha move to get us separate headsets so we could both hear. So,
true alphas know when to concede.
I don't know if that's an alpha move because he probably
that has
was
nothing
like,
to do with
yeah,
this.
That is, and it also is not an alpha move because he probably was like, if there's only one headset, it's clearly going to go to Jake,
which is true.
Yeah, so he just got himself a headset.
You know what Jake is? Jake's like a very supportive dad after a Little League baseball game, trying to find something positive that his son did to compliment him.
Yeah,
we have a master list, and we're just going to go on the fly and see how it goes.
Are you going best player available, or are you going for need?
We'll see.
All right. So, the draft today is going to be so all 4 professional sports leagues in America. We're going to be drafting. What's the actual definition that we're going to put on the top of the thing?
What team?
This
name
was shout out to the
be...
AWL. They sent us in for an FAQ, and we read it, and we decided to save it.
Yes.
The official question was NFL. Oh, not NFL, so we're doing all 4 sports.
All 4 sports.
Power rankings based on how likely I am to eat the meat of the mascot.
Okay, so are we picking mascots or are we picking team names?
I don't think that we should do the true mascot.
Right,
so
right.
For example, I don't think it should be like the San Diego Chicken or whatever.
Right.
It's going to be, I don't know, a Golden State Warrior. I would consume a warrior or something.
Or if you wanted to keep with San Diego, you would actually eat a, is that a priest? Are
they a priest. You would eat a priest. You could go for the...
That's what a Charger is?
The Padres.
Padres, okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what a fucking Padre was either.
It means father in Spanish.
All right, so here we go. So here's how we're going to select the order. It's going to be lottery number. Everyone pick a number. Closest to it gets to select the order. So they get to just decide what the order is going to be for today's show. And again, these are not official numbers. So if you hit it, it doesn't count on your permanent record.
Okay.
All right.
In that case, I'm going to go with 47.
Okay.
50.
Okay. Jake, Billy?
69.
All right, I'll go 21.
Hank, that was a dick move.
You just priced this right at him.
Yeah.
Now PFT has like 3 numbers to work with. Anything over 69, we win.
Oh my God! It's gonna be 48. It's gonna be 48. There we
go.
That's
sucking
perfect. All right, so PFT, you decide the order.
Hank's going last. So okay. It's gonna be me, Big Cat, Jilly, Hank.
Okay, and then it's a snake draft. So we're coming back around.
We invented the snake draft.
We did.
System.
We did. Everyone remember the time we got caught in the snake in Vegas?
Oh, it was so high.
Let's stay out of that. Let's stay out of getting eaten by the snake again. We can do this. We feel good about Mount Rushmore season. Okay, here we go. PFT.
All right.
All four major sports.
1-1, the first overall pick in this draft. I'm going to go with a nugget.
Ooh. Is that a gold nugget?
Well, so that's what we have to discuss.
Yeah, well, I mean, that.
Because
so you just want to eat
it's
gold.
100% a gold nugget.
It's gold nuggets.
If you just use the word that the team is named after.
Which
that,
is what we're doing.
Which is nugget, but they're not a gold nugget.
No, they are.
Yeah, they
were named after golden nuggets.
I know,
they're
nuggets of gold.
But the team name is not gold nuggets.
No. I don't think
Denver
that works.
Nuggets.
It does work. Yeah, but it's just a terrible pick.
Yeah, it's a terrible pick.
Well, imagery.
That's what I wanted to talk about. Like, in an instance like that, can we transfer the meaning of the word.
I don't think so. It's what it is. It's you were eating a nugget of gold.
I have some similar answers to you, PFT. I wouldn't have picked in, like, that was more for later rounds, kind of like when you're out of good answers. But,
yeah.
But hey.
Well, no, in that case,
I
want to change
Whoa. What?
It's something that we have to discuss because we didn't set the ground. We didn't Mount Rushmore season off to a contentious
back
start.
You stepped up to the podium. You could have asked these questions before you stepped up to the podium. You literally said 1-1 is the number. You could have asked beforehand and then switched your answer.
We didn't know until 5 minutes ago whether or not we were taking the actual mascot or we were taking the team name. I feel like that's something we need to discuss.
Adam Silver doesn't walk up to the podium, say a name, and then go, oh, wait, actually, I'm coming back, changing it.
I think we need to reassess then, if that's the case.
Well, you gave a terrible answer, got told it was a terrible answer, and then wanted to change your answer.
It's not a terrible answer.
That doesn't happen.
Okay, all right. I'm going to
I vote
he can change it one time, this one time, just to start. This is the start of Mount Rushmore season. It's basically a false start on Mount Rushmore season.
And I did vote yes.
I did
Liam votes
you
no.
all a favor.
I vote
by
no.
doing that.
Billy votes no.
So you get a nugget of gold.
Wait.
It was chicken minis anyway.
Jake and Billy don't get to vote.
Yeah, they do.
One vote.
Yeah. They voted no.
They get one vote,
no,
not two
votes.
They
need to vote, otherwise it's uneven.
Yeah.
They get one vote between the two of them.
Okay, well then, it's still
enough. Looks like I want it on the record that I sided with PFT there.
Thank you, Big Cat.
Yep, no problem. Do we have an alliance for this Mount Rushmore season?
For sure. Let's fuck them up.
All right, my first pick, I will go. I went through all the teams, and I was like, what is just the most edible thing? And I think it's the Miami Marlins. I would take the Marlins. I would eat a Marlin.
Good
I think
pick.
That's something people actually eat, I believe. So they look delicious. They're cool fucking fish. Also, you can do the thing where you catch the fish, you eat the fish, and then you make a fake Marlin and you put it over your TV.
And you get to do the thing where you pose next to the Marlin that's like dangling by its tail next to you.
Correct.
Yeah.
So
that's a great pick, Big Cat.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Also, if you cut off the snout of a Marlin, that's actually a car stick.
Good point.
So I just use that as
or
well.
A weapon.
Yeah.
Like a Native American. Just use everything.
Correct.
You know that Marlins aren't actually, they're not swordfish. Not the type you eat.
Yeah, but you can still eat a Marlin, can you not?
Probably.
Okay.
We choose the Buffalo
Thank
Bills.
Thank you for that.
All right,
Bills.
You're taking a Bill?
Yeah, we're taking a...
The Bills.
You're eating a Bill.
Oh,
you're eating
shit.
A guy named Bill. You're eating yourself, Billy.
You're sucking your own dick. Jesus Christ.
I thought it was a Buffalo.
Is it not?
No, it's Buffalo Bill.
It's a Bill. Yeah.
It's a Bill.
It's
a guy named Bill.
It's Wild Bill.
You're eating a dead guy.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So
you just did what PFT did, even though you voted against PFT being able to change it.
Exactly.
Yes. Okay. I just really like buffalo steaks and stuff.
Yeah, but that's not what you're eating.
I know, but that was like really enamoring.
Yeah, but Billy,
I think Billy, the Bills are a buffalo.
No, you really understand that, like, Buffalo is
the name of the city, not the name of the
It's actually
the
even
team.
A worse pick than the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah, because they're not Buffaloes,
right.
The city of Buffalo.
The mascot is because
Correct.
Of the name.
Correct.
That's such a good point.
Wait, but the imagery.
We get it.
The mascot is Billy Buffalo.
Right, but we said we weren't going to eat mascots.
I thought we were eating mascots.
No.
I thought we were eating names.
Jesus.
It's the name of the team. It's the so I'm eating a Marlin. You're eating a bill.
Jake already knows that he fucked up. Jake, you should have let Billy pick the first one.
God damn it. This is actually such a
great... So we're going
great,
after the names,
this is
not the mascots?
Great first Mount Rushmore because we really suck.
Listen, it's, we haven't had speak preseason to get us going into it.
Okay, all right, Hank. Let's see what you got.
1-4 Milwaukee Bucks.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's
edible,
a good pick.
That's kind of what I was going with. You were doing big catches. Go down the list and what's actually edible.
Yep.
And then my number two, Tampa Bay Lightning.
Ooh.
Eat lightning, crap thunder.
Oh, okay. I like that. Mm. Okay, okay.
Mm. No, I'm picking this one, Billy.
Which one do you want?
We are eating something that you physically eat, and it's an Anaheim duck.
Oh, ooh, nice good one. Pick. That's good.
You eat duck. It's good.
Add it on my
it's
list as well.
Duck, duck is actually my favorite meat.
Okay,
you had the first pick. You could have taken it.
I'm going to eat...
Shut the fuck up, Hank.
I'm going to eat something that I like would be cool because they don't exist anymore, but I'm going to eat a Toronto Raptor. I'm going to eat a raptor, a dinosaur. Mm-hmm. That's pretty... I mean, imagine how expensive... You think, like, Kobe beef is expensive? How about a fucking raptor beef?
Yep.
Just tastes like chicken.
Okay, great.
Good pick.
I'm not eating a guy named Bill.
It is a fraud dinosaur, though.
I don't care. Sorry. I'd be a fucking rich man to be like, yeah, I've eaten some dinosaur.
Okay, duck was going to be my next pick. That's a great pick on Jake's part.
Mm.
So instead, I'm going to go with a diamondback.
Mm.
That does taste like chicken.
Yeah.
Rattlesnake. Rattlesnake's actually delicious if you fry it up. You get a little dipping sauce.
Yep.
And then my next one is going to be...
Mm.
There's so many nervous little birds out there in the NFL. If you want to pick an NFL team, you either have to decide between like a human, a cat, or a nervous bird.
Yeah.
So instead, I'm going to go with a penguin.
Ooh.
I would eat a penguin.
That's fucked
sad.
Up. That is fucked
That's
up.
That's really fucked up.
No,
dude, after all they're dealing with climate change and like the entire world's getting
Hank,
completely
they're, no, they're overpopulated.
Drowned.
I'm culling the herd.
Man, that is kind of fucked up. I'm not going to lie. Like, I just sad.
You have to admit, though, like, their diet gives them a nice layer of fat.
Yeah.
It's probably a delicious treat.
Yeah. All right.
Jesus.
All right, I'm going to eat a Tampa Bay Ray. I'm going to eat a Ray. What? That's a Ray. You can eat those, right?
Like there's not a lot of meat on the Ray.
It's still meat.
It's probably poisonous.
Is it?
I don't
or
think
probably?
So. I don't think that... No, stingrays don't have poison.
Yeah,
do
well, and I also I do hold the record for the most stingray pets. So at the Shedd Aquarium, what did you just say? Steve Irwin. Yeah, Steve Irwin. So I'm getting revenge for Steve Irwin.
But the poison.
No, that's their stinger.
He just got he got
which
stabbed.
Also is a car stick. I now have two car sticks.
He got stabbed in the heart. I don't think it was a venom issue.
Yeah, it wasn't like he pet it. I've pet a lot of rays. Have you?
No.
Rays are actually very friendly as long as you don't swim directly over them and yell at them in an Australian accent.
So back off.
We're going with a dish that the Japanese do really well, dolphins.
That's fucked up.
Also,
after everything we've done to try and educate people on the terrors of dolphin on the show.
You can just go down the street and get a foot-long tuna at Subway.
The worst part about killing
dolphin at this point.
And the worst part about killing a dolphin is they know you're about to kill it. They'll look you in the eyes and be like, really, bro?
This guy's
going to do this to me?
This guy's going
to They can feel
me.
Pain. Are you going to kill the dolphin slowly?
Old-fashioned way, harpoon.
Just choke it out?
Just bring him into a cove and slaughter them all?
That's the old-fashioned way, is just stabbing a dolphin with a harpoon.
Dolphins would make good MMA fighters and never show their neck.
Right.
It's just one big long one.
You get the big blowhole, too.
Yeah. You'd probably plug that blowhole.
You stuff it? Stuff blowhole?
All right, Hank, coming back around.
This is my last two, right?
Yeah.
Kansas City Royals, eat the rich.
Oh, nice, Hank. Good one.
And
Jeff Bezos.
For my AOC. Final, yeah, I mean, everyone says eat the rich. I want to see how it tastes. And my final one, I'll go with the Minnesota Twins.
Mm.
Guys twins. Love twins.
And twins, yeah.
Surprised you didn't take the Red Wings.
Okay. Billy, Jake, they're having trouble now.
All right. Do people actually eat that?
Yeah.
Apparently, people in Europe eat broncos.
Oh.
Horse.
Interesting.
Yeah. I think, do the Spanish eat horse?
I think it was in, like, the Swedish IKEA they were eating horse.
Oh, that's
oh,
right.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Now, if I had to choose between a horse, I would probably go with a colt or a filly over a bronco, right? I feel like the bronco would be tough and stringy from all the... Because it's an active outdoor animal.
Yeah. But I feel like, aren't Phillies like Philadelphians?
No, it's a horse. Philly.
Yeah, it's a horse. It's
a horse.
I know it's a Philly, but is it
a female horse? Yeah.
It's a female
yeah,
horse.
Yeah, but is it do they mean it's that way or is it?
I don't know.
Then why aren't the Phillies?
Yeah, I don't know. That's actually we've gotten way ahead of our skis here. All right, my last pick. I'm going to go with a drink. I'll go with the Lakers and just drink a whole lake.
Mm.
Minneapolis Lakers.
Now, is that people who go to lakes?
Then I'll eat them. They probably are full of water.
Because I was thinking that about the Brewers. I was like,
a actual brewer? Well, whatever it is, I feel confident with my pick. If it's drinking a lake, great. If it's eating someone who's on a lake, that's also great. Mm-hmm.
They're probably rich.
Yeah, they're probably rich. They're probably like an orthodontist. And they also probably, if they spend a lot of time on the lake, have a decent amount of water in their body.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, PFT.
I'm going to go with the Kraken.
Okay, that actually makes sense, yeah.
And also, it's a rum as well. So it could be I could get fucked up off the rum, or if you want to take it as the mythical creature, it's like Kraken calamari, mm-hmm. giant calamari. Sorry, yeah. Mike.
All right, so anything, what did we miss? Do you want to do a quick speed round of mascots? Because people are going to be like, why didn't you do mascots as well?
Gritty would have been my number one.
Yeah, Gritty, it would have. Gritty was mine too.
I would have probably eaten that the magic. He looks delicious.
I think the Philadelphia Fanatic would be pretty delicious too.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking about the Devils, just like take them out for, you know, society's purposes.
Should we do the mascots real quick?
I am not prepared for that.
Do you want to stop real quick and we can prepare and then we can just pretend that we didn't take a stop? Okay. Let's do a bonus Mount Rushmore because who knows if that one was good. Let's do the mascots. So now we're going to pick Mount Rushmore. We'll make two graphics. Double Mount Rushmore to start off Mount Rushmore season. This is based solely on deliciousness of the mascot and how it looks. So we're actually eating the physical mascot if it was real and had meat on it, right?
Yep.
So if
like the furry thing that runs around.
Yes, yes. Yeah, right, exactly. Okay. PFT?
All right, my 1-1 is going to be Gritty.
Okay.
Gritty from the Flyers. He looks delicious. Should we reverse the order? He looks like he's already covered in
Do you want to reverse the order? That's actually fair. You're right.
No, I don't think that we should.
Yeah, you're right. All right, Hank, you go 1-1.
All right. My 1-1 is going to be Gritty.
This is bullshit. I'm throwing a flag.
I mean, it is fair to reverse the order.
I'm throwing a flag on it.
Also, we cut out the part where we decided to do this, and Hank said he would do 1-1 Gritty, so PFT then tried to steal it. All right, Billy and Jake. This, by the way, I only saw Jake looking up mascots during the intermission when we decided to do this.
Dude, Lucky the Leprechaun.
Oh,
I eat the shit out of a leprechaun.
You and Kyrie Irving?
Yeah, but yeah. That's, he cursed himself.
Okay.
No, but you get esophageal cancer afterwards because remember he sprained the ankle that he used to step on Lucky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just think it would be sick to eat a leprechaun.
Yeah.
I think that's racist.
Yeah, what? Probably. It's anti-Irish at least. All right, my first one, I'm going to eat the KC Wolf from the Chiefs. That wolf looks delicious.
Yeah.
And he kind of... Like, whenever he's doing fun shit in the end zone, he's got a big-ass belly.
Yeah, he's always riding around on the Segway, too,
yeah.
So you know he's not working too hard.
Right, not a lot of muscle
Some
on him.
Tender little meat.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to take Mariner Moose.
Okay, good pick. I had him on my list.
It's a value pick because there's just a lot of meat to work with
there. Yep.
You kill a moose, you eat good for at least a couple months. And then after I eat the moose, I'm going to be so full... I'm not going to be very hungry, so my second pick is going to be the football team because they don't have a mascot.
Okay.
So I'm just going to give myself a little break to recuperate.
So that's a pass pick.
Yes.
Okay. My second pick, I'm going to go with, I'm going to eat Chuck the Condor. Remember the Clippers tried to make it a big thing? Ballmer was like, I'm going to make a mascot. He looks delicious. Chuck the Condor. Mm-hmm. He's got all kinds of weird colors. He's a fucking stupid-ass mascot. I don't even know what a condor has to do with L.A., but Chuck the Condor, you're getting your ass eaten by me.
All right, Big Cat, I know you're Mr. Meat, so we're going to go with Oklahoma City's Rumble the Bison.
Oh, good pick.
Got a lot of meat.
Rumble. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Hank, you have two.
That literally was my next pick. I will go with Pierre the Pelican.
Aha.
Scary looking dude.
Kind of like Chuck the Condor.
Yeah, but he's much scarier.
Yes,
he's
I'd agree.
All beak, though.
Yeah.
That's more, again, more, I'm just like a hero. I'm just trying to help the world by taking him out.
Eating
well,
him, yes.
Also, you get to eat whatever's still inside of his beak, so there could be bonus fish.
That's true.
And then I'll go with not a lot of great mascots. I'll go with the Cardinals. Rally Squirrel is apparently their mascot.
You like Squirrel?
Squirrel could be good.
Squirrel could be
good. Yeah, if you're in the woods, like I feel like if you were, you know,
play Oregon
forced
Trail
to survive on your own, you could, a squirrel could get you by.
Yeah. Okay.
I've eaten squirrel.
Yeah? Not how surprising. Was it?
You just eat the hind legs. We're going to go with Benny the Bull.
Oh, that's okay. Mean.
That's some T-bones.
He's one of the best. Yeah, he's cow. One of the best.
Boom.
Yeah. All right. This one's kind of a fucked up one, but the Giants, San Francisco Giants mascot, Lou the Seal.
Yeah.
Cute as fuck. Lou cute seal. As a button. I would club that seal to death and eat him so fast.
I had that on my list, too.
Yeah, he's a cute one.
Again, most of my picks, I think, come down to what type of meat is on it. I think a seal has a lot of blubber, too.
Yeah, I'm going for pretty much cuteness, like the, you know, yeah. Like a muscular mascot's like, eh, I don't want that.
Yeah. All right, so there are a lot of mascots out there that have bear-like tendencies. So I needed to determine, am I going to have a grizzly? I'm going to have Clark the Cub. Mm-hmm. Am I going to have a Staley. Boston Bruin? I'm going to go with Jazz Bear.
Oh.
Jazz Bear, if you look him up, Jazz Bear looks like the most delicious of the bear mascots.
Mm.
He's like a little bit furry, a little bit fat. He's pretty cute, too. So I'm going to go with Jazz Bear.
Okay, that's your... Oh, yeah, that's a good pick. He is very furry. He actually looks like Teen Wolf.
Yep. And then for my last one, I think I'm going to go with... I'm going to go with the Toronto Raptor.
Mm.
He's kind of a goofy guy. Not a very intimidating looking raptor as far as dinosaurs go. Especially when he's blown up, when they have the inflatable version
yep.
of the raptor.
Yep.
I feel like there's a lot of meat on that bone. So I'm going to go with the raptor.
Okay. I will go with Orbit the Astros because he is the cutest of the mascots. Also just a weird, funny looking dude. Don't know what he actually is. I think he might just be a star. Reincarnated? What is he? He's a green...
He's an alien.
He's a green alien. Want to eat that fucker. Big time. He's so cute. Look at his hat.
He is.
Yeah.
Ever notice
I would
how,
love to eat him.
Ever notice how mascots don't wear pants?
Yeah. It is weird.
Really strange.
Yeah, and then they photoshopped that huge dick on Clark the Cub.
Yep.
All right. Last pick for Jake and Billy.
Do you want to take yours?
Or... Yeah.
All right, go for it.
We'll do the Cubs because it's like bear veal.
Yeah, okay. That's
yeah.
true.
So it's
that
like
is.
Young bear.
Baby cub. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What about the penis? You're going to eat that?
There is no penis.
Well, you're all eating penises, too.
Yeah.
No,
well, no.
You,
all my
are you
animals
sure
are
that
female.
Orbit has a... I don't think Orbit has a dick. I'm looking at him right now. I do not think he does.
Well, I don't think the Cubs have a dick.
I can show you a picture
yeah,
of
there's
him having one.
Lots of pictures of,
mm-hmm.
of Clark.
Mm-hmm.
He has a dick?
Yeah.
Huge one.
Big wanger.
Mm-hmm. All right. Hank.
I will go with Al the Octopus.
From?
The Red Wings.
Nice.
But you hate calamari.
Well, yeah, but calamari is like fried. Like you can make octopus taste good. You don't have to just throw it in a deep fryer.
Grilled octopus?
Mm. Yeah, if you make octopus well, you get a good chef to actually cook it up, put some nice, you know, spices and
have
stuff
you ever
on
eaten
it.
Octopus?
Sure.
I don't think that you have.
What part of calamari do you not like?
I think calamari is just fried sponge, basically.
So you don't like the octopus part?
I don't like the fact that it's fried. I think octopus, if you make it in a good way, is good. But fried calamari, people just like fried food. They're just asking for some fried sponge.
Fried food is good, yes.
Right, but...
Do you eat onion rings?
Yes.
And you don't eat calamari?
I don't like calamari. I think it's a trash appetizer. This is not about that. I don't know what we're talking about.
That's what we're talking about now.
We're talking about, and this is, by the way, this isn't like if you're in a restaurant. If you're in a restaurant, you have all the options in the world. No, I'm not going to eat fucking calamari. If it was a question of these are the mascots you have to choose to eat from,
correct.
All of a sudden, octopus becomes a lot more appetizing.
What about Hugo, a single hornet?
Mm-hmm.
That seems like something you would pick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, so we'll put up both graphics. The graphics with the mascots, we'll just put the actual mascots because it's a visual thing. All right, Mount Rushmore season. I don't know if that started well. We'll see.
I think it did.
It was Listen, okay. It was no, bumpy. It's been a while.
You doing polls this year?
I don't care. Sure. Or not. I don't care. Billy, you seem like you have a strong...
I think we'd win a lot.
You guys would win a lot? All right, so then let's put a bet out there. How many times do you have to win for it to be considered a lot?
Jake.
You have to win 50% of the polls?
Well, so there's four teams.
Three
so we have to win more than 25% to make it a lot.
That's not really a lot.
Yeah,
though.
That's not a lot.
That's just like
just
a statistical anomaly.
Well,
we don't have to do like above 50%. Like
yeah,
above
I think
25%.
You do. That, over 50% would be a lot.
How about this compromise?
Two out of three every week would be a lot.
Yeah, that would be a lot.
What about over 40%?
No, let's do like 30.
No,
no,
that's not a lot.
That is a lot.
No, it's not.
That's
okay,
more than
let's
a third.
Not do polls.
Yeah, we just won't do it then.
You guys don't like polls, do you?
I said I'm fine with it.
I want to do polls. I'm competitive.
Are you?
Yeah.
Doesn't sound like you are.
Jake, let's what do you it. Think for your team? You decide.
For a benchmark?
No, mm-hmm. You just decide whether we're going to do the polls or not.
Sure.
Okay. All right, we'll listen to Jake.
Winner gets the best in the office title.
Okay, perfect. All right, that's the start of Mount Rushmore season.
We got David Baker from the Hall of Fame coming up next, but before we get to him...
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Up next, David Baker.
Okay, we now welcome on a very special guest. He's a recurring guest. It is the president and CEO of the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. He is the one who knocks. It is David Baker. We haven't seen you in a couple years. We actually were reminiscing the last time we saw you in Miami right before the world went to shit. So it's great to see you. It's great to talk to you. It's great that there is a Hall of Fame game this year again. How are you doing? Are you excited to have fans back in the stadium? Is Canton ready to go? What's the vibe like?
Yeah, the last time I saw you guys, I think it was Super Bowl 55 in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And I was knocking on the door to get you guys out of my room.
Yes.
As I recall, okay. Cause you were kind of hanging out there, but you know, we've all been through a lot, you know, 18 months of real challenge and sometimes fear. But we are excited to have the first full stadium for football in 18 months that we will have with a Hall of Fame game that will kick off the NFL's 102nd season. And then we're going to have a couple great enshrinements, gold jacket presentation. It is going to be, I think, one of the greatest gatherings in football ever. We'll have 161 Hall of Famers. Fox will do the game, and then the NFL Network and ESPN will do the enshrinements. And I hope somehow you guys will have the opportunity to come here, be part of it, and come visit your goldfish.
Mm. Yeah. Larry, yes.
RIP Larry.
Yes.
We would love to do something like that. I'm excited to see a football stadium that's absolutely filled with people as well. I'm looking forward to it. This is one of my favorite weekends of the year because it's like it's that first robin of spring that reminds you that football is officially coming back. And so I can't wait for it. I'm curious to know, you guys have a lot of big names this year. Yeah, like Peyton Manning, Charles Woodson, a lot of big names that are getting inducted in the Hall of Fame. How did you determine which guy gets to go last?
Well, normally I will tell you that's an extra interesting question, PFT, because normally what we do is we put kind of the most popular marketing guy last so that the viewers will hang in there and do it. But in recent years, you know, starting probably when I got here with Michael Strahan to Kurt Warner, those guys have gone on after midnight because the speeches end up being so long. This year we have what we say is twice the fun in 21 because we have the centennial class, which again, that was originally going to be 20 Hall of Famers for 2020, which was going to be the most ever. We had to cancel the centennial. And then we went with 2021, which has Peyton Manning, Charles Woodson, you know, Tom Flores, a whole lot of other popular guys. So we have 28 guys who will be enshrined in these two classes. We took care of 9 who were posthumous the last night of the draft, Saturday night of the draft, and enshrine those posthumous Hall of Famers. That leaves us 19. So on Saturday night, we will do, we'll do 11 of the guys. And then the rest will be done, 12 of them actually on Saturday night. We'll do 7 on Sunday night, and that'll be the class of 2021. And what we've done this year is we've asked guys to keep their speeches to 6 minutes, and at 8 minutes, we will play off like the Academy Awards where guys get. And if they don't leave, finally, it's going to be up to me to go out there and drag them away from the microphone. But I think everybody is abiding by that and doing a good job. And I think it's going to be really, really special.
So this class, like PFT said, has some big names. I was watching the video of you presenting. It was a little different because it was some of it had to be outside, so it wasn't all Knox. The Peyton Manning one, though, I was very curious. You did a great job of surprising him, but can you surprise Peyton Manning with the Hall of Fame? Because he was born a Hall of Famer. Like, he knew he was going to be in the Hall of Fame essentially his entire career. Was there a moment maybe when the cameras were off, it's like, yeah, I knew this was going to happen. Maybe not exactly like this, but we obviously were going to have this interaction at some point.
You know, Big Cat, I'll tell you, I'm not sure his entire life he thought he was going to be in the Hall of Fame, because at some point he was an 8-year-old or 10-year-old guy that was starting that journey. And he started with an incredible dad, Archie Manning. I just love Archie. He has done so much for the game. But, you know, his dream was to probably be the best he could be. And he knew it took 10 seconds for him to get in the Hall of Fame. You know, Mike Chappell from Indianapolis did his presentation, and I think all he said was, Peyton Manning, drop the mic.
Yeah.
He didn't have to make a presentation. Everybody knew he was going to be. Peyton knew I was going to be knocking on his door. I knew I was going to be knocking on his door. But the question was, how could we do it effectively? So, frankly, Peyton's wife and, you know, some of the guys, Patrick Smythe at the Denver Broncos, helped us a great deal. And we tried to create something that would be special for him. And he has great respect for the people who invested in his life. And so we had his high school coach on video. We had his college coaches, some of whom were in person. We had his every pro coach that had coached him kind of be there at mile high. And then finally I walked in, and I want to tell you, it was special for him. And here's what I learned about this. And I know you guys love the game, so you'll get this. When I told him that he was going to Canton and we were going to guard his legacy forever, and thank you for all he's done for the game, I don't think I was telling that 45-year-old polished pitch man that we know Peyton Manning to be. I think I was telling that 8-year-old or 10-year-old kid with all these people who helped him get here. And it was dramatic. It was special. And then we went on to a number of other places. That night I ended up with Calvin Johnson in Detroit.
Yeah. I wanted to ask a question about Calvin. Was there any moment where you like, hey, Calvin, are you really retired? Because he's a guy who could step in tomorrow and produce for an NFL team. He retired a little short. Did that ever come up in the conversation when you guys did the you know, deciding who's going to be in the class, or maybe when you knocked on his door in Detroit?
Yeah, it didn't come up in my conversation with him. For us, we were talking about what he contributed already. And when I got there, you know, it was like 10 o'clock at night. It was 19 degrees below zero. I knock on his door. He comes. We weren't allowed to go inside because of NFL COVID policies, so he had to come out. He's barefooted. And again, he was overwhelmed. He was crying. And at the end of the time, when, you know, the guys had all their footage and everything, he turns to me and he says, are you going back to Canton? And I said, no, we've got a few more doors to knock on. And I'll never forget what he said. He said, oh, you're going to go collect the more tears, aren't you? and again, that's what it means to these guys. They're not thinking about how much money they make. They're not thinking about their statistics. They're thinking about their journey. They're thinking about their mom and dad, or their dad who kept them from quitting, or their mom that drove them to practice, or their coach that helped them to be more, or their teammates that got them there. It was very, very cool.
You mentioned Archie Manning. But also, I feel like we need to talk a little bit about Olivia Manning. I feel like Olivia Manning should be nominated for the Hall of Fame as a contributor, because Archie Manning had a solid career, right? Pretty good career for the Saints, but was not a Hall of Famer. His sons are now Hall of Famers. Where do you think they got that extra boost from? Probably from Olivia, right?
From Olivia. And by the way, Christian McCaffrey, everybody thinks it's Ed McCaffrey. And frankly, his mom was a world-class sprinter. You know, so I think he got some speed from her. I think that's true of a lot of guys who play in the NFL. You know, the dads kind of provide them some exhortation and some encouragement, but their moms are the ones who keep them going and give them the love to never give up. But yeah, Olivia, and I got to tell you, Archie is a special man, not just as a football player, but I've always regarded him as one of the great fathers. He's a Hall of Fame father, not because of what his kids did, but you know, Archie lost his dad when he was a sophomore at Mississippi. And I think he understood how important it was for him to be a dad to not only to Peyton and Eli, but to Cooper. And again, that's the cool part about this job. I think every fan should have this job if you could. Let's let everybody do it for a day, because not only do you get to deliver some great news or give a gold jacket, but you get to see behind the scenes the real emotions, the real perseverance, the real courage that made these guys great. I mean, respectfully for you and your fans and listeners, we all think they fell out of bed great. And I'm here to tell you, not one of them did. They all had to overcome something, and they had to overcome it again and again. And it's pretty cool that we get to see it. And hopefully from that, guys, learn that you don't have to be a football player to have a Hall of Fame life. And frankly, you know, watching them and learning from them can make you guys better broadcasters. It can make me a better dad. It can make us a better community and a better country.
So can you walk us through what the process was of getting Roger Goodell's chair inducted into the Hall of Fame? We have a bone to pick with you. That's not okay. A Hall of Fame worthy chair. So did he just tell you, did he call you up and was like, hey, Dave, listen, this chair is going to the Hall of Fame. There's nothing you can do about it. Or maybe you had more of a say than I'm letting on. Just explain to us how that process goes down.
Let me tell you, I begged for that chair.
Oh, come
all
on.
All of the fans that were in that was the chair that was in his basement. And here's the deal, by the way, with him, okay? He said we could have it, but he was loaning it to us. He wasn't giving it to us because when the season gets started, the official regular season, he wants that chair back in his basement so he can watch his games.
Okay. I don't know. I think what really happened was Mrs. Goodell was like, you need to get this chair out of my house. I hate this thing. Every guy's got a piece of furniture that their wife wants out of the house. And she was like, we're sending this to the Hall of Fame. We're getting it out. You don't have a say in it, Roger. That's what I think.
That may be great. Let me tell you, it's a big chair. And you guys know, you've been with me. You know how big I am. Okay. This is my kind of chair. I think both of you guys could sit in this chair. Okay. As a matter of fact, I'd like to get that picture of both of you guys sitting in Roger Goodell's chair. But I thought it was a nice piece of deal. I mean, I thought it was pretty smart of them to go back to that time in his basement and again, I will tell you, there's all kinds of controversy, and the commissioner, bless his heart, man, the guy is a lightning rod for every piece of controversy. But I will tell you this from my perspective, gentlemen. And by the way, I know that, you know, your station has a little bit of problem with the commissioner. Okay. But I will tell you that last year was an incredible year. When we were locked in our homes, when we were afraid, when we didn't know what the next day held, the NFL, you know, announced their schedule. They had a virtual draft. They started the season on time. And by the way, the Big Ten canceled half its games. The Pac-12 probably didn't pay that many. And the NFL played all 256 games, played all playoff games, finished the Super Bowl with a 43-year-old quarterback on time, and they did it safely. And I think for us that were out there, it was not just great entertainment and good football, which we needed, I needed. Frankly, it was a great message that maybe, you know, these were blacks and whites and Hispanics, and these were management and unions and networks, and everybody came together. I mean, look at Alex Smith, no excuses. You know, when the Broncos didn't have a quarterback, they could have forfeited, okay? But they went and found some guy off their practice squad. When the Detroit didn't have a coach, okay, they found guys out of the film room and the scout room. Everybody kept going, and they came together and they carried on. And to me, that was a great message that, hey, if they could do that, maybe we can get our economy going.
Yeah, you're a optimist and a great diplomat. Let's talk about something a little more serious. On the serious side, I'm looking at the 10-day forecast right now. It's going to be mid to high 80s in Canton the week of all of these events. What's our sweat strategy this year? What are we thinking?
Well, listen, you probably know, and there's been plenty of evidence out there to show it, I can sweat in a freezer.
Yeah, okay. You sweat through a suit, like actually the suit jacket, everything.
Yeah, and I'll go through probably about 10 or 12 suits, Big Cat, during this time. But what I'm going to try to do is stay inside as much as possible and just run outside when I got to do something and then run back inside.
Okay.
But it's Canton, Ohio, and it's going to be humid, and we're going to have a lot of people here. But it's going to be a great, great time.
Yeah.
Going to get back to David Baker in a second, but before we do...
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
I can't wait for it. I read online today that you at one point did a weight loss challenge with Roger Goodell. Did you beat him? Please tell me you beat him.
No, I didn't beat him. I mean, the guy doesn't have a weight problem. I have, what was it from Tommy Boy where he said, I have what people call a weight problem. I'm 400 pounds. Okay? And I did everything I could. I actually tried to cheat. So I would send him chocolates and I would send him cakes and one time he was having an annual meeting for the NFL with his owners, and I believe it was someplace like, Houston. And I had the hotel send him a banana split during the meeting. and I did everything I could, but I didn't win it. And he's still after me, but some things, like Tommy Boy, aren't going to change.
Yeah, you know what, though? You're the winner in our minds, because anything against Roger Goodell, we're going to side with the other side. I love the suit, by the way, right now, the pinstripe suit, the classic suit. You look like a detective in a Dick Tracy movie right now. I kind of like it.
Yeah, this is actually my Beetlejuice suit.
Okay.
I'm ready, for whatever may occur. But we'll have a lot of suits. We'll get really wet. But we'll have a lot of smiles.
Yes. That's a fact. I don't know if we asked you this when we first interviewed you. Are you eventually going to be in the Hall of Fame?
Well, I'm in the Hall of Fame right now. Okay. But I will never be one of those guys who have a goal.
Are you sure?
I don't think you can tell the story of professional football without mentioning you.
You know what, guys? I'll tell you that you may find yourself very soon before I leave being a selector if you keep that kind of thinking going.
Yes.
Because I could get you guys as a selector there in the room where we select the guys sometimes. But I think it's reserved for some people who, like I told you before, there have been 330 million young men, including you guys, I'm sure, that have played this game of football, and now women, by the way, at some level. There's only 5 million that have played it in college, only 29,000. Who've ever been paid to play it, coach it, or officiate it in the National Football League. There's only, as of today, 335 bronze bust. It's not the hall of very, very good, or as you guys were pitching to me the last time we were together, the hall of mediocrity. Okay. I remember that. Okay, I'm sure you guys have advanced that idea along the way. It is the Hall of Fame. It is the elite. It is the very best. So I've got way too much respect for it to ever think that there'd be a guy like me who sweats this much to be in it.
I think that you're being very humble right now. That exact attitude that you have right now is what will get you into the Hall of Fame one day. I'm going to make sure of it as a selector. You brought up something interesting because you talked about the NFL specifically. What about other professional football leagues? What about the Mexican Football League with Trent Richardson? Is there a chance that if he dominates that league enough, he could one day end up in the Professional Football Hall of Fame?
Well, let me give you an example. I always felt that we are the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Now, we're most identified with the NFL because it's the dominant brand that's out there. But we have records on everybody. And by the way, we got 335 guys who have a bronze bust, but everybody who ever played even one game in the NFL has an archive here. So you may know that I've got a son that played almost 8 years with the Falcons, and we've got an archive on him. Archie Manning, who's not in the Hall of Fame, we've got an archive on him. Our goal is to keep the history of the game, to honor the heroes of the game, to preserve its history, promote its values, to celebrate excellence everywhere. But I always thought an interesting guy for this was Kurt Warner. Kurt Warner had been the MVP of the Arena Football League. had been the MVP of NFL Europe, and then he comes along and he's the MVP of the NFL and he's Super Bowl MVP. And that's a guy who makes it not just on Warren Moon. Warren Moon made it here. Warren Moon's a fascinating story. He's all everything, but at a time when race is even more divisive than it is now, he's the player of the state in California, but he doesn't get offered to a four-year college, so he goes to a JC. He then goes to Washington. He becomes the MVP of the Rose Bowl, but he doesn't get drafted, so he goes to the Canadian Football League. He plays in the Canadian Football League for 6 years until finally he's picked up in the NFL. And the NFL, he plays another 16 years, and he's in the Hall of Fame. But there's a lot of guys like that, and, yeah, we take note of that. Matter of fact, we've got a deal this week that is the Women's Tackle Football League Championship being played here in Canton. So anything that's football, we're going to be all over.
I love that you're just you're like a treasure chest of great feel-good stories, and you just have them like a Rolodex in your mind. Is there ever been a time that you cried presenting someone else?
Yeah.
Give us the most you've cried. What was the person that you knocked on their door and then you just couldn't hold it and you started crying?
Well, and again, I love kidding around with you guys, and we have a lot of fun when we're together, and I think there's a mutual respect. But I got to tell you, I knocked on the door of Jerry Kramer, and he waited 45 years to get in the Hall of Fame. When I knocked on the door of Randy Moss, I'll tell you, he came to the door, he started crying, and he came to the door as this star, this incredible mega star that was, when you're a star, it's kind of about you. And I think I saw him transform into this incredible ambassador for the game, and I have great respect for Randy Moss. But I can tell you, we call this the most inspiring place on earth. And the reason we do is we have so many people who come here, guys who are terminally ill, have 1 week to live. And this is a big bucket list item for it. One day we're in our office and we're looking out the window and our stadium is under construction. So there's vehicles and there's a mom and dad out there and they're pouring the ashes of their son out on our field. And that stuff happens all the time. Yesterday I got an email from a young kid who's, we saw him when he was 10 years old. The Make-A-Wish Foundation had reached out and he was terminally ill with cancer. We went to Israel. He's in Israel. And we had Joe Montana and a whole bunch of other guys, Roger Staubach, and they love this kid up, as we should. His dad wrote me yesterday, and he's been in remission for 5 years, and he's coming to the Hall of Fame in August. And I'll tell you, there's just so much stuff out there that happens every day that, frankly, it gets lost here sometimes that there's so much of it. But it's a great game. What you guys do every day and talk about it and kidding about it and getting insights on it, it grows the game and it has an impact on people. So yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you ever still just walk through the museum by yourself through the Hall of Fame? And I know we talked last time about John Madden saying that at night the statues come alive and they talk to each other. Do you ever walk through still by yourself looking at things? And do you ever have a conversation with the bus?
PFT, this is a this is that time of year here, right here, and where my staff is in here. Sometimes they're in here from 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, even to midnight, because we got so many people coming to town and so much to take care of. And there have been times when I was the last one here, and I walked out, and you kind of take a stroll through that bronze bust gallery, and it is, it is the Sistine Chapel for all of us who love the game. It is the heart, the soul, the values, of the virtues of this game. And I've never talked to a bronze bust like Coach Madden. And again, when you sit down with him, he takes that very seriously. He will not give it up. He's absolutely convinced that they talked to each other. and if they did, I'm sure it would be Warren Sapp that I'm hearing all the time. But the fact of the matter is, we play the enshrinement speeches of guys just outside the gallery 24/7. And there's a lot of times, not just late at night when I'm here alone, but sometime during the day where Chris Carter will be up there. Or one night I was in there at midnight and John Elway was talking about his sister and dad who had just missed and died. And I actually came back in and shot him an email on it. But yeah, our job is to keep their legacy alive. And again, the guy who has this job, 100 Dave Bakers from now, and that guy will still probably be talking to the two of you, but that guy's job will be to keep their legacy alive.
My last question, and this has been fantastic as always. I know that you can't tell us how a vote's going to go. I know you don't get a vote, right? You're in the room, but you don't.
I run the meeting,
right?
Administer it, but I don't vote.
Right. So my question to you is: Julian Edelman retires. Now, I'm not going to ask you whether he's a Hall of Famer. I'm going to ask you instead, do you love when Hall of Fame debates rage on in the media? Because that's kind of been, you know, he retires and it becomes a week-long Hall of Fame debate. I have to imagine you kind of like that because it's people are talking about the Hall of Fame and they frame their arguments around the Hall of Fame. That's a win for David Baker.
Well, I'll tell you, it's a win for the game. And I have been in some incredible debates. And I will tell you that these guys who are the selectors, whether that's Sal Palantonio from ESPN or Peter King from SI, or you know, they're elite media guys, and they do take it enormously seriously, and which is why you have to have a 400-pounder control the discussion, because it can get intense sometimes. But they've been wonderful discussions that I wish every fan could hear. And we've tried to take bits and pieces and do it in a way where we guard confidentiality but can share what we can with fans. But I will tell you, I on one of the trips we took to Israel, twice we've taken 20 Hall of Famers. On one of those, Julian Edelman was on the trip because Robert Kraft was kind of our sponsor for the trip, and he wanted Julian to come. He's Jewish, and it was a big deal. And I told him, I said, it's probably not me, but I hope someday, you know, there's someone like me knocking on your door. And I, again, I think he is a tough, tenacious kid. He went to school at Kent State just down the road here. And I've seen that happen. Got Jason Taylor, you know, his speech at the enshrinement, he went to Akron, I believe. And he, you know, his deal was 20 years to go 20 miles. But again, there are guys, Drew Pearson is a good one who, you know, it took Drew Pearson a long time to get in the Hall of Fame. Ray Guy, it took him 29 years. Obviously, Jerry Kramer took him 45. Not everybody makes it as a first ballot Hall of Famer. And once you're in, you're in. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But it should be hard. It should be tough. It ain't easy. That's why it's the Hall of Fame and not the Hall of Mediocrity.
Yes.
Which we're still working on. Yes. We're fleshing out that idea. When
I want to come work for you guys.
Yeah. You talked about the Play It Off music that you have in store for people after, what, 8 minutes? Have you figured out what song you want to use for that?
No, we haven't. You guys got a suggestion?
I would say the Fox NFL injury music song. It's going to be on Fox. So they do the like really soft version of that might be good.
Let me see if I can get that done for you guys, and you guys will know, hey, that was me.
Yeah.
Very cool.
We'll have made the Hall of Fame at that point.
Yes, yes.
All right. Well, this is awesome. Thank you for coming on. It's always great to talk to you.
Yes.
And listen, I think highly of you guys. You're a lot of fun. And I do, I think you have a lot of fun, but you have enormous respect for the game.
We do. Mm-hmm. We do.
It also helps that you're you and we're us. And so if we feel like we're disrespecting the game, we're far too intimidated to vocalize that.
Well, come on down. I'll let you both sit in Roger Goodell's chair at once.
Take care, guys. All right. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
David Baker was brought to you by our great friends over at
With golf season in full swing, Chevy wants to help you make the most of every drive, and the all-electric Blazer EV's bold design and dynamic performance make it the perfect electric vehicle to get you to the course in style and comfort. Chevrolet, together let's drive.
Okay, let's wrap up. We got Fyre Fest of the Week. Henry, you moved?
I did move.
It's over now, though, so it's like I feel like a weight has been lifted off my shoulder. I feel like a new man. I'm happy. It was a long week. It sucks. Moving is, you know, it's one of those things where during the process I thought about, like, tweeting or being like, moving sucks, but there's no point because everyone knows moving fucking sucks.
Mm-hmm. So, one question.
Yes.
I actually, like, moving sucks.
Sucks.
Moving out sucks.
Sucks.
The sneaky worst part, though, is when you move in and you think you're done and you're not. Like, you have, like, a 2 weeks left.
Yeah.
Of getting shit set.
I don't even care about that, though, because it's just like, okay. I mean, I'm on my own, so it's like I can go as, you know, take my time with it. I'm by football season. I want to be fully moved in, situated.
Okay, everything. So you have enough time.
I'm not worried about but it that is, part of it.
It is like the that feeling of, you know, when you're about to move, you're like, all right, this is going to really suck. And then you get everything out of your old place, and you get everything into your new place, and you're like, whew, done. And then the second wave of suck, like, creeps up on you, where you're like, in the 3 days later, you're like, where the fuck did I put this? Or where is this? Why don't I have this? Why I need a new couch? Like, all these things.
To that point, Big Cat, I did a horrific job packing, and then I just took a bunch of boxes, and my labeling was so bad because I moved. So yesterday I was like, oh, I need to find this, this, and this, and then the labels were just like stuff.
Yeah.
And so it's like, yeah, that is definitely,
so yeah,
gonna,
you're gonna
that's
have
gonna
a
delay.
One.
Yeah, that's, yeah, gonna delay, yeah, me really, yeah, diving into those boxes.
Did you have, sure, anything that you packed up in this move that you hadn't yet really unpacked from your last move?
Yeah, there was a couple. There was an old suitcase that I had that I opened it up, and it was like old stuff from my old apartment that I was like, oh, I'll just bring this to my new apartment and deal with it then. And then I was like, what's in this suitcase? And I was like, oh, this is from like 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm. That's my favorite part about moving, is rediscovering old stuff that you thought that you'd need and you absolutely don't need it.
But yeah, the Firefest, though, is yesterday I moved all my stuff out of my apartment. I had to go back to do like one last trip, you know, pick up all the scraps and stuff and leave. And I was there and I had to take a shit. And then I sat down, started taking a shit, and realized there was no toilet paper. And so I just took a shower.
Nice.
That's all. I've done that. I was before. Sitting there, coffee, I was just like, filters. What am I supposed to do? What?
Yeah.
You got to improvise sometimes. Yeah. What's your water pressure like at the new spot?
I haven't taken a shower yet because I bought a shower curtain and it didn't come with the clamps.
These are the things I'm talking about.
I haven't showered in like 3 days.
Yeah.
I guess that's another Firefest. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yikes.
We have a shower here.
Go shower.
We'll wait.
Go hit the showers.
Well, I guess I did. I mean, I did an ass shower.
Yeah, I was going to say. You
didn't shower.
I didn't have anything. I just literally got in the shower, like, wiped my ass.
And then got out.
So, I guess,
wait,
like...
did you have soap?
No, there's nothing. Oh, there's nothing in. There was nothing in the shower.
This is my Firefest.
What'd you wipe your ass with?
Your hand.
And there's no soap.
And no soap.
This is Firefest, right? Like, what am I supposed to do?
No.
Did you have
soap in, like, the
There was nothing in my apartment. There was nothing in my apartment.
When did this happen?
Last night.
Have you washed your hands?
Yes. I had hand sanitizer.
I don't know if you did.
Yeah, that was a lie.
how hot was the water?
Very. I mean, all right. What would you guys have done?
Well, no.
You guys are making me feel bad. There was nothing I could have done. It was 10 o'clock at night. Uh-huh. I was on the toilet.
Yeah.
And I realized, oh, fuck, there's no toilet paper here.
There's no shame.
And I used a towel and I threw away the towel. Like,
okay.
That's all I had.
Okay, so all right. That's a good start.
When you're in the shower, are you facing away from the shower head?
Yeah. Yes.
He's bidetting himself. My shower head was a overhead shower.
Yeah.
No big deal.
Oh, so you were on your all fours.
I was literally just bent. I was just bent over.
Yeah.
You were just getting blasted in the ass by your shower. No soap.
Again, like, what? You guys are making me feel bad. Everyone's going to be like, oh, my God.
No,
it's so gross.
No.
But, like, all right. Anyone that's going to tweet me and be like, dude, you're fucking disgusting. Like, give me something else that I should have done in this situation.
Yeah, no, you did,
like,
everything
tell
you
me,
could do.
Tell me what I was supposed to do, because I was thinking about the options. I was like, all I can do is really take a shower.
Yeah, no, you did everything you could do. Like, replaying it, I don't think there's any other move you had.
My move...
It's more that you left out the part that the soap, that's where the shock came from. But you had to do it.
You could have used your boxer shorts and then just thrown those away.
Well, I did the towel.
Yeah, you did the
okay,
towel.
Okay, you can do that,
you did
too.
The towel. Yeah, you're good.
I don't think that you smelled bad today. I didn't think so either.
Okay. Thanks.
We dug deep on that Firefest.
Yeah, you guys.
Yeah,
we feel
got
terrible.
There. No, you shouldn't feel terrible.
That's the old Jersey bidet.
You guys make me feel like sometimes you're like, how could you have done that? But it's like, in my head, I'm like, what else am I supposed to do? That your guys' reaction was like, you're a crazy person.
No.
How could you do such
no,
a thing?
No, no, I think no, it's perfectly no, no. normal hold on, what you hold did.
On. You fucking slept here last night, PFT, like you have no money in your bank account.
Yeah, that's true. My reaction was more, I assumed there was soap, so when you said no soap, I was like, what the fuck?
No, there's but nothing. That was part of my story.
You had to do everything. You did everything you could do.
Okay.
Is there a common bathroom in your old apartment?
What do you mean?
Like, is there a lobby bathroom?
Yeah.
I would have soaped there. That's the only thing I would have done different afterwards.
But wait. Was this at your new apartment or your old apartment?
My old apartment.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
That's all I would have done different. Everything else you did right. No shame.
Okay.
Good job, Hank.
Thanks.
I don't know how I even followed that Firefest up.
Yeah, no, that was one of the best Firefests ever. It also was funny because you were just going to say moving, and then we got to it. Like, we kept on digging.
Well, no, that was, yeah, I mean, yeah. Whatever.
Yeah. I'm not shaming you. I really am not. Like, I would have done I just told you I wiped my ass with coffee filters. That's gross.
Yeah.
You got to do what you got to do.
I've used
I'm taking a shit in the woods. My
other option was that or a plastic bag. And I was like, I don't want to do it.
No, that plastic bag wouldn't work.
I know.
It would smear it.
And it also tears.
Yeah. No, you did everything. I think the towel is important part of it.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, can we move on?
Yeah, I guess we can.
Are you good?
I'm good. I just feel like you guys have
we're not judging.
I'm telling you that I think that you did everything you could do.
All right. Thank you.
Only thing that I would say is maybe the lobby bathroom afterwards. But that's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah. But I don't think you're ever going to be back in this spot.
I'm never going to be back at that spot.
Yeah, exactly. So you're good.
Okay. Wow. okay, well, my Firefest is
just, I have one just as gross, so don't worry.
Mine's not even that bad. I might just skip mine and let you go, Big Cat, because mine's just, I'm not going to the Jersey Shore this weekend.
Oh,
and,
no.
And I finally get, after all these years, like, why people love the Jersey Shore. Never really understood it. I'm now like a big Jersey Shore guy. I might do this every single summer.
Same as Hank's.
Yeah.
Yeah, Firefest.
I can't go to my vacation house for the month this weekend.
You ready for this, Hank? That is a good Firefest.
Yeah.
My son was a little sick this week. Now I have like dad's sixth sense. I caught my son's puke in my own hand. That's because I knew it was coming. And I fucking caught the whole goddamn puke in my hands. And the Firefest is that I didn't even blink. I was like, well, this just happened. That's it.
It's
like
dad's sixth sense.
Yeah, it's just, but like it should have shocked me more. I think that just happens the more you get down the line with kids where it just things don't faze you like they should. So yeah, that was an awakening of like, yeah, I just caught your puke, had no problem with it. Threw it out, like, wash my hands, and then we just keep moving on.
If there was one of those old school fantasy football commercials for fantasy dads,
yeah,
that would be in it. Like, yes. Blindfolded, just sticking your hand out, catching the puke, throwing
just
it away.
Just knowing when something bad is about to happen. Yep. And so there you go, Hank. We're kind of bros like that. We just do gross shit.
Fuck yeah.
I don't actually think that Hank's thing was that gross.
No, it wasn't. No. It actually wasn't gross. Mine was way grosser.
You know what? Like, in a lot of
I ate the puke, too. I forgot about that part. I licked it up.
In a lot of countries, like, they don't even shower after they take a shit. Mm-hmm. So, like, Hank is more hygienic than probably 99% of the planet.
That's a fact.
Good job, Hank.
I feel like we're not in a good spot right now.
No, we're great. We're doing great.
Okay. Jake.
Yeah, my Firefest is so by our desk, there is this clothing rack, and it is a disaster.
Okay.
I walk in like twice a week, and my suits are just on the floor because it keeps breaking. You guys know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes.
I don't think the listeners could relate as much, but you guys know. It just collapses every day.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, this is only
about fixing it.
Or not wearing suits.
No, got to be professional.
Yeah, right. I think that's the part that's like you kind of.
They just break. It just breaks every day.
My understanding from the situation is it breaks, but you just lean.
Yeah,
just,
no one's fixed it. No one's tried to fix it.
No, I discombobulated the whole thing, and then I put it back together. I think it's broken.
You could always, if you have to wear suits, you could just wear wrinkled suits.
Yeah.
No one's really going to care.
Mm. Yeah, see, that's the thing. What you don't realize is that clothing rack, which I see, I knock over all the time, it breaks, whatever. Yeah. You're the only one who cares about it. You see my pile.
It has the PMT gear on it, too.
Hank, what'd you do to your pile?
I have no idea.
What the fuck happened?
I think the cleaning ladies are, which I fucking love, by the way.
Yes, you know what I did? You know what?
They're like slowly just cleaning everything.
Well,
and it's genius. It's great.
So they clean my desk.
Because Big Cat charity shames me every time I ask them to clean the pile.
They clean my desk and your desk, Hank. And I went up to one of the cleaning ladies like a week later. I was like, did you clean this desk? And she's like, yes. And I think she was like scared. I was like, no. I wanted to like thank you. And I gave her.
Oh, you didn't charity shame her and say you don't care?
No, I gave her some money. So now I think she's going to clean our whole life up.
Oh, great.
Because she's. Because I. Yeah. Okay, that answers that.
I came into work about a month ago, and my entire area was folded up and organized very neatly. It must have taken, I mean, definitely not under an hour to do all that.
So I feel good that I gave her money, but I also think that now she's going to, like, everything's going to disappear, which I'm okay with. I'm okay with it. Billy.
You don't care about charity?
I care about charity.
Jake, I will fix the rack for you, like I did your glasses the one time. Nice, but Billy. My... Firefest is that when we went to see the movie on Sunday, everyone was commenting like, Billy, you're so baked, you're so high. That got back to my mother. So my mom called me and was like, were you doing weed and watching movies? And I was like, no, I don't actually smoke weed. And then she started to remind me about the time in high school I came home way too high and thought I was so high I was going to die. And
you were one of those kids?
Me. Yeah.
Those guys usually stop smoking after
they
that.
Do. I don't they smoke. They absolutely stop smoking. Yeah.
Anyway, the weed is different nowadays.
Yeah. Then, bring back mids, right?
Yeah. So
then what? When you were in high school two
years
ago?
Well, I was
ago?
In high school and like you take one hit and then all of a sudden like you're so high
I
you
literally
think you're going
to
die.
Weed from the same person I did when... You were in high school.
Yeah,
for us.
Yeah, 5 years ago.
Yeah, no, Billy's same. Like, you guys don't understand. The weed in 2016 is nowhere near as potent as it is right now.
No, the weed jump happened in like 2009, 2010, somewhere around.
So
there.
Like,
it
then,
was like the special weed that you used to get once every 6 months started to just be the weed that was
everyone's
around.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not a weed guy, but yeah. So then I was like, no, I didn't do weed, and no one believes me.
So your mom thinks that you're a stoner.
Yes.
But
you kind of are a stoner just without the smoke and the weed.
Correct.
Part. Yeah, I mean, I can see that.
Yeah, you got like that attitude, which is a good attitude to
you're
have.
Just perpetually high.
Animals, food.
I never thought of it that way.
Yeah, eating a shitload of food, petting a lot of animals.
Fucking stuff up.
You're high.
Forgetting everything.
Yeah.
Being late. True.
No, I'm
You're the high guy.
Yeah, you're not high. You are the drug guy in this group, you know
that?
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, well, at least I don't spend money on weed and I'm the high guy.
Right, that's true.
I'm
that's
a cost-effective high guy.
Your brain is just as powerful THC as you can get anywhere.
Exactly.
All right, Bill, you got any recap for us?
Yes, so I want to talk about Texas. One thing you guys were talking about, Texas recruiting pool, you guys forgot about the NIL.
Yeah.
Texas is going to be able to get way more NIL money for the recruits than probably other colleges with the Longhorns network.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I was thinking that would probably be a huge reason why they want to go into the SEC because they have this money they can pay the recruits.
I just think they also see the future of like it's going to be a four conference. They don't want to be left out. SEC is going to be a power conference. Do it.
Do you see Texas beating Vanderbilt and Mizzou?
Yes.
Yes.
So they can compete.
Yeah, and also what they're going to do is I saw like the scheduling thing, which it might actually be Mizzou. They're going to do like pods, four-team pods that you play everyone in your pod. So if it were Texas A&M, Oklahoma, and Mizzou or Vandy, like they'll still, you know what I mean? They play Oklahoma every year no matter what.
I think that it might be Oklahoma, A&M, Texas, LSU.
I don't think they would stack it that much. Because LSU would probably be with, I don't know, I'd have to look at it.
No,
like
because
how
it, what would probably end up happening would be the north part would be the weakest, which would be like Mizzou, Kentucky, Vanderbilt, and...
I think they'd mix and match, though. Because remember, like, east-west doesn't, like, Mizzou's in the east.
Yeah.
So they don't really follow geography right now.
Right. But they also have the opportunity to vote against Texas joining. And Oklahoma joining. And right now you have two teams that are probably going to vote no, which would be A&M
for sure.
Mizzou has already said that they're going to vote no against that. So I think you need two more teams, and that's where you're going to run into an interesting situation. If there's a third team that says that they're going to vote no, then every other team in the conference is going to threaten to vote no so that they can get something
more,
out of it. It's like when there's, if you're looking at Congress and there's like one person that could like decide the vote,
yeah,
they all start demanding like, oh, well, we need a new electric plant in my district.
Right.
So
right,
that's what's going to happen if you get one more to kind of jump over to that side.
Texas A&M will never vote yes. That makes sense. Their vote, they don't want.
Their vote is like what is going to piss off Texas the most.
And also what's going to screw us the most is Texas like not being the only SEC school in Texas.
But that also means we get A&M versus Texas,
yes.
Hopefully
yes.
Every year on yes. Thanksgiving again.
Yes, yes.
Also on the Bucks, all the media reported that he was eating nuggets. We now know it was chicken minis.
Thank you.
And also, did you guys see the video of Brandon Jennings spitting beer at the crowd?
Yeah dude. Just, Brandon Jennings being 31 and being retired for 3 years blew my mind. I mean, his knees just went out. He's like Brandon Roy. Remember him?
Mm-hmm. The Blazers were going to win multiple championships.
Yeah, that sucks.
Also, this is, you know, in solidarity with Hank. One time I came out of the bathroom without washing my hands in kindergarten. And
this is not going. This is not
and
what
then
you think it is.
Everyone called me poopy hands. For
I
the
technically
next
washed
two
my
weeks.
Hands, just not with soap.
Yeah, no, you washed.
But, like, aren't you glad no one's calling you poopy hands?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that's not going to happen.
Yeah,
No, Billy. Yeah, Billy, no, you're poopy hands.
Yeah, I was poopy hands.
No,
Billy's
like, poopy
hands. But I peed, and I came out without washing my hands after peeing, but everyone's like, no, you went poop. And I was like, no, I went pee. And then it was poopy hands, poopy hands, poopy hands.
Hank has given Billy the biggest death stare of all time because he knows exactly what Billy's doing right now.
No.
You're trying to get everybody to call Hank poopy hands.
No, I'm just trying to show
that's
solidarity.
That's not
going to
work, Billy.
Anyway.
His name's Stank Lockwood.
Goats drink each other's urine to wash their teeth.
What?
Goats. Mountain goats.
They're piss dogs?
Yeah, they drink each other's piss to wash their teeth.
Crazy.
That's kind of badass.
Real quick, in the Barstool Sports book, we've got a new prop coming out this weekend for USA Rugby. Yeah. Go bet on it. If USA Rugby wins by finishing in second place, if they're the silver medalist, I think it's plus 677 or something like that.
Are they going to finish second?
They could.
Okay.
They could. Like, I mean, if you look back at their history,
they are.
They're the most likely team to finish second place.
Yes.
Game start on Monday.
I also have a parlay in there. It's called a poop parlay. It's not, but we can call it that.
Okay, poop parlay. All right, numbers. 99.
66. 69.
18.
8.
85.
86.
Oh, 86.
86.
First timer.
Whoa. How many we got left?
Send it back.
We got like 20.
Okay.
Love you guys.
I'll be coming for you anyway. Take on.